That little baby born just this moment, you can look in that little baby's eye and see interest. Huh? Yes. Little infant got interest in the eye. Trying to see. Even bucked eyes. You seen a little infant, little bucked eyes? Bucked eyes. Hey, what's this? There's interest. See? No interest, there's death. No interest, you're dead. You know, your sisters know, your brother, you couldn't help it, you know, ain't your fault, but something, he works too hard or something, he comes at home and all his interest gone, all his energy gone, all his energy is gone, so his interest is gone. And he can't get no interest up because all his energy is out. And you want to tell him, say, nigga, you dead. But you wait on him. You're patient. You wait on him. You're patient. Say, hey, maybe next week he won't be like this. So our first step is to try to create a condition in the environment where people will have the proper interest. And the best way to get it is given to us in the revelation. God first points to us and he shows us our nature to get rid of those misconceptions. Because man becomes victim of his own misconceptions. And in time, he's carrying an unnecessary burden. Men and women walking around feeling that they are born sinful are carrying an unnecessary burden. Because it's false. That's a misconception. God has not created anybody in sin. Allah says in the Holy Book, he has created us in the best of molds. Huh? Yes. And no one bears the burden of another. That's what Allah says in our holy book. That no bearer of burden is made to bear a burden of another. What is that addressing? The idea that somebody can sin before me and I bear their burden. No. My father can sin before me, but I am born innocent. After all of these centuries now, of enlightenment, scientific enlightenment, or at least great philosophical enlightenment, and a couple of centuries, or a good century of scientific enlightenment, finally we're finding some cities, some towns, some states are coming around to recognize that the child cannot be punished for the parents' problem. In our state, they had to recognize, they passed the law, and now they recognize all babies as legit. There's no such thing as a legitimate child, illegitimate child. If you have a child in our state, you got to accept responsibility. Yes, that's in Illinois. Every child is born with the rights and not treated as an illegitimate. They have rights of inheritance and everything else. Yeah. And that's the way it's going to be eventually all over the United States and all over the world. God will force man to come into this excellence that he has prescribed for him. Yes, he will force man to come into it. Not by himself imposing anything on us, but no, our disobedience will impose something on us. Our disobedience will bring conditions in our life that will make us suffer. And make us wonder how come we're suffering so greatly. And make us begin to think and reflect. And find out that we have contributed to this problem. And correct our thinking. So we find that man is correct in his thinking. And things are not so bad. Don't ever think that. I've preached a lot of gloom and a lot of, burden myself. I have let out of my own mouth, you know. But no matter how desperate I seem to be, to have been, and no matter how negative or how pessimistic my talks might have seemed to you, at no time was I looking in the darkness. I was looking at the light ahead of me in the road. I've never been a pessimist. No, I've never been a pessimist. I've never given up. I've never thought to give up. I've always been an optimist. And I don't care how dark the road looked right here. Maybe I can't see a thing through the thickness of darkness. I know for sure there's light down the road. Yes. And that's what keeps me going. That's what keeps me going. Because I know there's light down the road. God didn't create me to be condemned to darkness, to ignorance, with no answers and no solutions. No. God created me to make progress, to go forward, to be an achiever. And I don't care what's in my way, it won't dent my spirit. No, indeed. I know the only thing I need to do is keep my faith and make an effort and be persistent. And be, as they say, to strive and strive unceasingly. Never let up. Allah tells the prophet, as soon as you're finished with one task, immediately get into another. That's happiness. That's what brings happiness. When you're constantly working at something useful for yourself and for others. That's what makes life happy. Makes a good life. And a sense of indebtedness to our Lord is the greatest guarantee, because that happiness will be taken away in time. An old man from Saudi Arabia, I met him. In fact, I had just come out of prison from serving the time for selective service violation. This old man, he was a sheikh or imam and a sheikh from Saudi Arabia. He's native African, but he had spent most of his years there in Saudi Arabia preaching after he did his studies there, and he couldn't hardly speak any English at all. I could speak a little Arabic, so we could have some conversation. And he told me, he said, Wallace, I was known as Wallace then. He said, Brother Wallace, he said, we say for everything you may lose, there is a compensation. There's something to make up for it. He said, but Wallace, if we lose Allah, there is no compensation. I'm tired of being a loser. Not tired of being a loser in my personal life, but I live with a sense of our collective life. And I'm tired of being a loser in that collective life. So let us, as Muslims, find where our interest is. Where our interest is. It's easy to understand where our interest is. God has not left us without all the help we need. When we wake up in the morning, you know, when you wake up in the morning, you should start with your interests, right? For God say he made the night for rest and the day for activity. So when you wake up in the day, that's when our activity begins. Now, some of us are shifted around in the West, you know, you might have to get up when the sun go down and start your activity. Or it might be midnight, you have to start your activity, getting out there to try to get some money, work on that job or whatever it is, so you can survive. But don't pay any attention to that. That's man's regulation. The nature is still the same. Yes, so when we wake up in the morning, what is the Muslim to first recall? Is he to recall that he's laying in the bed with his wife? Or lying in the bed with his wife? No. Could have said, oh man, when you wake up, look at your bed to see who you were with. You know, I think I could get by with writing that as a philosophy, direction for man, and get by with it. I think it'll sell a lot. But what is best for us? I know sometimes I wake up and the first thing I do is look at the bed. You know, but that's not the best for us. I'm working at not looking at the bed. I'm working at responding to what God has advised for me. When we wake up in the morning, we are to recall God. Huh? You're to recall God. And many Muslims, they say upon awaking in the morning, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'da ma'amatana wa ilayhin nushur.
Praise be to God who wakes us up from death, from wakes us up after we have been dead. And to him is the goal. We are gathered. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. There is but one God alone. There is nothing like unto him. Yuhyi wa yumeet. He gives life and he gives death. Lahul mulk mulk wa lahul ham. For him is the kingdom. For him is the praise. We get up with that on our tongues. We recall that upon awaking. So upon awaking, we recall that I couldn't awake without God creating me to awake. Without God creating me and giving me life, I could not awake. So we recognize him first. Now, if we can't understand the tradition of the Muslims as a reasonable foundation or basis for what I have said, look, every Muslim is to awake and make his prayer. Now, does he do wudu or something before at first? Is the first thing wudu? The first thing is adhan. Huh? The first thing is adhan. He wakes up and he hears adhan. Someone is calling adhan, huh? Now, if someone doesn't wake him up with adhan, and he himself has to wake up and remind himself of his prayer, he wakes up with his prayer on his mind.
That's right.
He wakes up with his prayer on his mind. Uh-oh, I have to make prayer. Right. And he's worried, did I sleep too late?
That's right.
Did I get up on time? Yeah, so he wakes up with his prayer on mind. Now, not with his wudu on his mind, with his prayer on his mind. And then he says, in order to make myself presentable to God in my prayer, let me go make my wudu. Let me clean myself, huh? Yes. Okay, and then he turns and he faced the simple structure called the ancient house in the holy precincts of Mecca. And he, after he's made himself presentable for his prayer, and he begins his prayer with what utterance? God is greater. Eh? Yes? Allahu Akbar? Then he starts his prayer. He says, Allahu Akbar. Then he starts his prayer. So what is the most important interest in our life that we must keep? Taqwa. Taqwa. A sense, a recognition that we are accountable to our Maker. And that he is more important than everything else. When we say Allahu Akbar, we mean God is more important. Now, you know, we have the same language in our English. Say, hey, how much money that dude got there, man? Say, oh, that dude is hell. That dude is he's wealthy, man. That dude got about $3-4 million. And somebody will say, who recognize a bigger dude, they say, but that nigga there is bigger than he is, man. They say bigger, they mean bigger in value, bigger in importance, right? So when we say Allahu Akbar, many of us don't understand that we are saying more than Allah's greatest. Yes. We're saying more than Allah's bigger. Although that way of saying it is the most, I would say, the most effective way of saying it. It's a profound way. It's a way that awakening our senses in the best way. In the best way. But when we say Allahu Akbar, Allah is bigger. Kabir Akbar. Big Akbar. Big, bigger. You see? Allah is bigger. Then it brings, if you ever reflect on that, and God tells us that we are supposed to reflect. Don't just go through something and go through it mechanically. This become rote for you, a mechanical experience for you. No. God says, and reflect. Think on it. So, if I think on now, Allahu Akbar, said God is bigger. Bigger, bigger than what? That's enough. That's it. That's it. Because once you start to thinking there, it's gonna take you to the right conclusion. Bigger than everything. Yes. Say, bigger than what? You might say, bigger than me? Yes. Bigger than my business? Yes. Bigger than society? Yes. Bigger than the justice of the peace? Yes. Allah is bigger. So if the Muslim is... what they were told, that prayer is better than sleep. Sleep cannot give society the benefits that prayer can give it. For prayer bring us together. Prayer bring us together with ourselves, with our private self, and also bring us together with our brothers and sisters, the community self. Prayer brings us together. Under the one Lord, the great authority, Allah, our Creator. Yes, and it makes us aware of the total concerns for man and society. Because our prayer is not a made-up prayer. Our prayer is Quran. Al-Fatiha and the chapters, recitation from that book called Quran. So in our prayer, we're getting history. Huh? If one is aware of his prayer, in his prayer, he's getting a sense of history. He's getting a sense of history. He's getting a sense of the nature of man, the nature of society, the dynamics of society. He's getting all of that in his prayer. So actually, our prayer keeps us in touch with universal education. Are you aware of that? We should be. Our prayer keeps us in touch with universal education. Education in the best form, in the purest form, revelation directly from God. Praise be to Allah. And it is the first food for the Muslim. The first food for the Muslim. And in getting that food, he gets the energy to do the other things. Huh? To branch out into the branches of knowledge. To contribute to them. And to use them for the betterment of himself, and his society. Yes. And what has been said of the prayer, institution of prayer, says never did a nation fall or collapse until it had first abandoned its prayers. So if we abandon prayer in our private life, we should expect the private kingdom to fall, huh? Yes. And believe it or not, if you go into most of these homes wherein there's no prayer to God, you'll find the private kingdom has fallen. The interest must be there. The greatest interest for us is the interest in obeying God. God tells us that he has created us as creatures of responsibility. He has created us for service. And the first service, the most important service, is service to God. Now, don't you know that dignifies me? There's nothing can dignify me more than that. Well, there are people who will seek important bosses to work for, so they'd have a greater sense of dignity in their work. Eh? Now, if I'm born with the knowledge, or raised up in the knowledge of Muslim education, Muslim teaching, that I am created to be a worker for God, then no matter what position I have in the world, I have no reason to be downhearted, no reason to be thinking myself of no importance. I can still walk with a sense of great value. Though I'm emptying your garbage, I'm also working for the biggest boss, Allah. See how powerful the religion is in the life of the person for his good life on earth and for his better future in the hereafter. Some of us don't see that. We fail to see that. We think religion is just paying a debt. It's more than paying a debt. It's being rewarded. And God says, count not your religion as something you're doing for God. It is a favor to you. The religion is a favor to us. Whereas the religion imposed certain responsibility and hardships too. Because God doesn't say prayer is easy. You know, I used to be so excited and so ambitious in the spirit. And I was carrying a hell of a burden. See, I would punish myself for thinking that prayer was a burden. I'd get up and say, Hey, Wallace, you ain't supposed to think that prayer is hard. Prayer is easy. Allah says you should do it, then it's easy. Get up and make your prayer. And it took me a little time to digest the words of God in the Holy Book, where he says, and it is a hard thing. It is difficult. Except for those who have that excellent development. Those who are excellence in their spirit and their spiritual makeup. You have to have great spiritual strength. Great spiritual development. And when you reach that high spiritual development and excellence, then the prayer becomes easy. But by that time, you've done it so much until it's just like walking. Walking is easy, too, when you don't have a bad back. So anyway, I came to realize that prayer is not given to us as something that just can be done so easily. God reminds us that it's very difficult, except for those who have the right attitude. The right attitude, the right sense, and the right attitude. If you don't, it's difficult. If you just think that, oh, here's something for me to do. No, you have to understand that you're not doing this for God. Though you owe it to God to obey him, this is a benefit to you. And it's better to get up knowing that prayer is not only an obligation unto God, but prayer supports my body. It supports my spirit. It supports my mind. It supports my morality, my morals, everything. It cleanses me. It is a medicine. It is a protection against ignorance and against sin. If you understand the great benefits, then it's easier to get up. You don't have to make a person get up to do something that they know is real good for them. It's only when they are not aware that it's real good for them that it's difficult to get them to get up and do it. The more we realize the value of prayer in our lives, the easier it is be for us to get up in the morning, get up at the proper times, or cut off the interest here of business or whatever it is, and respond to God and turn to him at the proper time. It becomes easier when we realize how beneficial it is in our lives. Yes, interest. That's what we're dwelling on now. Interest. Interest. The interest must be there. Why should I be interested in God now? You know, the atheist, he can ask these questions, right? Why should I be interested in God? What do I owe God? Well, let's not go back there with the argument of creation and all that, because the atheist may hold to his belief that no God created this. It is self-evolved. Right? So he may hold to that. Let us start with the world of man, man's language. Now, I've read what the philosophers have had to say about my inherent worth, but I haven't heard anything that inspires me and make me feel that I have value and importance and significance to the extent that what God has said. No. Why, they will say that they say wonderful things about man, that man is a dynamic creature, and man, this man can manage his circumstances, etc., etc., etc. But look what God has said about man. God says that he created not one man, but every man to be Khalifa. So he created you Khulafa, the plural of Khalifa. He created you Khulafa on this earth. So God is first saying to man that I have created you to be a ruler. The average philosopher or idealist who conceived these great pictures of great images of man in creation, they don't tell man he's created to be a ruler, because they want to rule man. God says he created you to be a ruler. And the prophet says that everyone has been made an authority. An authority. Right. Means having, God has given all of us the intelligence to be responsible for authority. So here is my religion telling me, in the words of God, that I am created for the office of rulership. And also that I have been given authority. Authority. Authority that is qualified by my possession of human intelligence. Now, according to the language of this religion, if I don't exercise human intelligence, I have no right to authority. Isn't that justice? Yes. But after all,
My authority is related to my nature and my capacity. So if I come out of my nature, I lose my capacity. So it's no authority for a dog in the human world. If I want to be a dog, there's no authority for a dog in a human society. He has to get a license and a master, right? A human master. So we have to understand these things. Yes, God has created us for rulership and for authority. And in the Muslim society, the democratic society, we have over us God, the Word of God, the Prophet and his Sunnah. We have all over us also the consensus of the learned people in our religion. But we have also over us the consensus of the conscious Muslim public. Because everyone in the conscious Muslim public is a right. He is an authority. She is an authority. Given the same human intelligence that the Imam is given, even the Prophet is given. Though it is rise that has been perfected in the Prophet, we all have the same. Praise be to Allah. So the interest must be there. This is what makes the interest great. Behold, how can we motivate negligent people to accept responsibility for their fate, their future, etc.? How can we motivate them? How can we motivate children in the ghetto, or children in this poor neighborhood? How can we motivate the children of the culturally deprived? How can we motivate them to have an interest in education, to achieve? How can we motivate them? Give them the concept of themselves that God has revealed. And that will motivate them. I have never been needing any motivation. I've always felt that God created me for great things. I don't need nobody to motivate me. Praise be to Allah. The interest must be there. But where, how can there be interest where there's darkness, ignorance, misconceptions? Let's clear the picture. Let's bring the truth back. And the first truth you bring back is the truth of the value of that person. Say, hey, you have been created for excellence. And you are excellent creation. Huh? So don't be afraid to tell your children those things. Muslims, you should be telling your children, son, you're created an excellent being. And you're created for great excellence. God has made you an officer in his charge. An officer of his own office. No matter what position you have in this world, you are also a worker for God. And son, walk with a sense of pride, a sense of dignity, healthy pride, a sense of dignity, a sense of worth. Walk with that sense. And let no man or no force intimidate you, rob you of your courage, make you weak and lazy and inactive. No. Break through the wall of steel, stone, whatever it is. Break through. Because God didn't intend for you to be molded into an imprisonment. No, God didn't intend to imprison you. No, indeed. He gave you this great concept of yourself, this great idea of yourself, because God knows that that's the motivation that will send you breaking through the prison walls, knocking down the barriers, and going into the greatest field of freedom possible for the human being. Don't stop. Yes. Now, you know, God must intend it for us to explore and to go out and just gather much into our possession. Yes. Because, you know, no matter how poor I'm born, I may don't have a dollar to go across town on the city transit. But God has given me a mind that can take wing and it can walk. And when it get tired of walking, it want to get there in a hurry, it can take wings and start flying. giving me a mind that can just jump right up out of Chicago and travel to other cities, jump up off of earth and go up into heavens. And it was that thinker, that free thinker, that thought our way into Chicago. Huh? If it wasn't for the free thinker, we wouldn't have never come to the new world. That was a free thinker who had the courage to think outside of his narrow boundaries and think himself into distant land. Huh? And what did one of our great educators say? Happened to be a Christian, but in his nature he was Muslim too. Du Bois said, the measure in which we will progress as black people in the future depends upon the measure in which we will go to teach our children to think. Yes. And many of us in these circumstances we find ourselves in today, we're afraid to think. We have to get the right idea, the right picture of ourselves. You are a valuable vessel. You're a treasure. A great treasure. You have great potential. You're equipped with great tools. You're a dynamic being. You have a world.